Let's look here at these verses in Romans chapter number 8. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 35. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Father, we ask you this morning to help us. Put your hand upon us. We pray this morning, touch every heart, every need. And Father, we just pray that you would have your way as we preach the word this morning. We need your touch, your help. Father, open up our ears and our hearts to hear and receive the word of God. We do ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We want to preach to you this morning on a thought of fastened by love. Fastened by love. And it seems that we've been around this subject for a little bit, and we even, these next verses found in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, we mentioned them last week. But it's speaking about love, and it says charity, which is an agape love. It is love. It says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity flaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Love. Listen, we fasten things together. If you're a builder, amen, a seamstress, we fasten things. We join them together. Amen. And love. The verses here that we read, our text verses, it asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And amen, that's where I want to start this morning. First thing, who or what is going to separate us from the love of God? Amen. Nothing. Amen. For God's children, for those that belong to Him, the question arises from Paul here, and he asks, who is going to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Now, there's a lot of things and a lot of that try to separate, that tries to get our attention and woo us away from Christ. But in verse number 34, we see it tells us, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us." If you could only have one person praying for you, Jesus would be the one I'd want. Well, the Bible said that He sits at the right hand of the Father, that He's making intercessions for us. And fastened by love. See, it also tells us there in that verse number 34, the fact of His death. That Jesus died, and He died for us. We read one of the most familiar passages of Scripture. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world, amen, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We see the securing power as love has fastened us to Christ. And so, what may come? Tribulations. We've all had tribulations. They come. Distresses. They come. Persecutions. They come. Famine. They come. Nakedness or peril or sword. Which, what of these, what of this will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? You see, Paul, let's be honest, we look down through this list and some of these things we don't, I mean, even when you speak of persecution, we've not seen it on the scale that Paul did. We've not seen it on the scale that many folks have seen persecution. Famine. We don't know anything about famine. I know that when I was a child, I've heard Mom and Dad talk about things being tough. How that Mama said she hoped didn't nobody company show up because she didn't have nothing to feed them. But you know what? As a child, we didn't ever know that. I mean, whatever was set on the table, we just sat down and ate. Don't ever remember a night going to bed hungry. I mean, I always had something to wear. Never has it been that my life has been threatened for the sake of the gospel, for Christ's sake. But amen, Paul's, his was. He was stoned, he was beaten, he was left for dead. Others, amen, have been killed there, even to this very day and this very hour. But he said, what of that's going to separate us from the love of Christ? The devil thought that he could separate Job from the love of Christ, from the love of God. And a lot of things happened, but amen, and Job didn't understand everything that happened, but he recognized and he realized that, amen, no matter what happened, at one of these days, I'm going to see my Redeemer because He liveth. And I'm going to see Him with my own eyes. I'm going to see Him. Love. Now we can get ourselves in trouble about putting too much emphasis on the flesh and what we think we can do. Peter thought that nothing could ever put any distance between him and Christ. When Christ told Peter what was going to happen, and Peter, he didn't speak for everybody else, amen, although everybody else agreed with him. He said, everybody else might run off and leave, but he said, not me. You're not going to be able to slide a piece of paper between me and you. I'll die. But you know what? When that old rooster crowed, the Bible tells us that, well, Luke chapter 22, verse 60, and Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You see, things can separate and get us, put some distance between us. Can I tell you what Peter never quit doing? Peter never did quit loving Jesus. He never did. What he said about dying, that was his intent. I mean, he believed that and that was his desire, but his flesh was weak. But he loved Jesus. But I tell you what, more importantly than the love that he had for Jesus was the love that Jesus had for him. Because, amen, when Peter denied him that last time, when that old rooster crowed, Peter looked and who was looking at him but Jesus. And he saw, and when he saw Jesus looking at him, he remembered the words. And boy, immediately he left and he went out. The Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. Puts me in remembrance of what David did in Psalms chapter number 51 when he prayed to God for forgiveness. God, forgive me, I have sinned. Amen. Peter went out and And amen, he renewed that relationship. And of course, after Jesus' resurrection, Jesus wanted Peter, I believe, to know that he was forgiven and he was welcome, because when he told him to meet him, he made a specific request and told him, and tell Peter also. Because what's happened? Amen, he sinned, but amen, he's not been, amen, he hadn't been kicked out of the family. Sometimes we hear folks here in this life, he disowned me, they disowned me. They're going to kick this one out, going to kick that one out. You know, we make jokes around the house, different things about, yep, you out the wheel. Something happened, you know, and just make a joke of that. And of course, listen, being out of my wheel ain't that big a deal. Amen. But listen, God don't kick folks out of the family. Because he loves them. And amen, and guess what? And we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
And so what do we do? What do we do with folks that we love? Amen. Well, we like to be around them. I mean, we like to have communication with them. We enjoy things that they enjoy because of the love that we have. And so love fastens us. So what, he said, who or what's going to separate us from the love of God? And amen, the answer is nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Secondly, you might say, well, preacher, what assures this security? That's a big statement, that nothing's going to separate us. Where's the security? How are you assured of that? In verse number 37 here of our text, it says, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through Him that loved us. Maybe I'll preach one day on that word, that little phrase right there that says more than conquerors. More than. Not just conquerors, but more than. Conquerors. And he says this, and he tells us, he said, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We read a few verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And while we may fall short of that description of love in that text, amen, when we read that what it does, suffers long, it's kind, it flaunteth not itself, don't behave unseemly, it don't seek its own, it's not provoked, it thinks no evil, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. What a statement of love. And while me and you may fall short of that definition, description, whatever you want to call it, God never does. God never has. He has never fallen short of what we see there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. God loves us, and Jesus was given for our redemption, that we might be saved from our sins. You see, Paul knew this, as we read. He knew that we might have to go through tribulation and distress and might be hungry and cold and naked and all of these things in this world. And so here's what he reminded us of. We're not saved from trouble, but we are saved from sin. And we may have to face some temptation and some tribulation, but amen, but Jesus has paid our sin debt, because that He loves us. Therefore, the troubles of this life, the things that are mentioned, will not separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our security, the reason that Paul could say these things, is not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is.
Amen.
And because, as we mentioned in verse number 34, who also maketh intercessions for us. The security that's in this love that fastens us to Christ. Now then, number three here, where can we find an example of this kind of love on the earth? Glad you asked. Isaiah chapter 49, beginning in verse number 13, it says, "Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted." But Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me." Verse number 15, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." In this text verse, heaven and earth, he said heaven and earth needs this morning to rejoice. Why? Because of God. Because of who He is. Heaven and earth needs to rejoice. But He also said this, "But Zion," ask us this question, how many times have we said, and maybe we didn't say it out loud, it was just said in our hearts and in our minds and our thoughts, that we have thought that, amen, God has forsaken us. That nobody cares. That's what they did. When they was telling them to be joyful. But Zion said, amen, that they had been forsaken. And then God gets ready to give us an illustration. You know, we like illustrations. Helps us to understand things and see things. Something that we can relate to. God does that in different places throughout Scripture. And so He gives us an illustration. And when He gets ready to give us that illustration of this kind of love, where does He go? He says that in verse number 15, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." He uses the example of a mother. That's His example. And while the illustration, He even admits, while the illustration is not perfect, because see, mothers are flesh too. And while the illustration is not perfect, and He admits of the possibility, what He's telling us is, it's not the natural way of things. And we all know, we've seen in our lifetime around different ones, and you know, God will teach us some things. We're talking about illustrations. God will illustrate some things to us in the creation that He's made around us, just in the animal kingdom. I think I might have mentioned, you know, watching that video about that hen, that something was after it. I can't even remember what it was now that was after it. But them chicks was staying right there. They was right there behind Mama, and she was giving it what for? She was ready, if need be. She was going to lay down there her life that the chicks might live. You know, we make a little joke. We've said it here recently about going to Alaska and taking a good pair of running shoes. And, you know, when we talk about not being able to, well, that ain't going to help you outrun the bear. And we said, well, it's not the bear I'm trying to outrun. It's just you. Point being, if I outrun you, the bear's going to catch you. And so we make joke, you know, looking, and because then we'll survive no matter what happens to you. But amen, in nature, that's not how it worked with that little mother hen. She knew if there was one that wasn't going to survive, it was going to be her. Everybody else was going to survive. And this is what we see. That God, when He got ready to give us an illustration of the kind of love that God has, the example was that of the natural love that mothers have. He said, that's what we want to see. And so that's what He showed. And so as we celebrate Mother's Day, we can look, and I believe with all my heart that God speaks to us through all kinds of things throughout every day, all day. One of the places, one of the things that God does, He'll speak to us about love. Sometimes He'll, you know what He'll use? Sometimes He'll just use the little children. The little children talk to us about love. And some little children were asked about love. Some elementary age, 5 and 6 year olds, ask about love and just, can you give us an illustration? Tell us what it looks like. One little boy, he said, well, I think that love is when my mama makes a pot of coffee and pours a cup for my dad and she takes a sip of it before she gives it to him just to make sure it's okay. Just to make sure that it's okay. In his eye, that's what he saw. I mean, that's what he saw. The little girl, she said, mama loves me more than anybody else because she's the only one that I ever see at night that's giving me a kiss. I mean, that's what she was seeing. Love is when mom sees dad all smelly and sweaty, and she gives him a kiss anyway. And she gives him a kiss anyway. You see, love has a securing power that binds and protects, and mothers are a good example of that in every day and just in the little things. When I read those things, I just thought about all the things, the little things that God has done for us. Boy, I thought about that one when he's all sweaty and smelly. Amen. There wasn't anything attractive about us. Amen. God loved us anyway. He just loved us. God gives us little things and little tokens. And thank God, I have been blessed in my life to see this kind of love displayed by my mother and by my wife. But not only by them, but by many others in this world. This kind of love, this description that God gave. And what does it do? What does it do? What's God telling them? He's trying to describe to them and tell them and give them just a glimpse into how much that He loves them. It's an example. You see, all those little things that we see, and see, we've all got our own little things that we could go back in time and look at and see about the mama, you know, about taking a sip of the coffee and all. We've all got those little things probably that we could see and we could add about love, and we see a description. And what God's saying is, those things should remind you of how much I loved you. And how fastened you are to me, that you are mine. And while Zion says, amen, God has forsaken us, God was reminding them, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Why? Because I love you. Amen. In closing this morning, I just want to just take one more thought from one of those children. Because one little girl said, well, you really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. But if you mean it, you should say it a lot. She said, because people forget. Well, there's a lot of wisdom right there coming from a little 6-year-old. If you mean it, you should say it a lot, because you know what? Because people forget. You know what Zion had done there in the book of Isaiah? They had forgot. God had to remind them. God's used a lot of things in this life to remind us that He loves us, but one of the things that He has used has been our mothers and our grandmothers and those that, you know, sometimes I've had some folks in my life that we may have referred to them by, you know, aunt or some other name that they wasn't any blood kin, but it's just who they were. And the love that they displayed. I'm thankful this morning that God loves us and that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And so I pray, as God has shown us, told us that He loves us a lot, I pray that we never, ever forget. Amen. Just how much God loves us. Isaiah chapter number 66 and verse number 13. It says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Comforted. As one whom his mother comforteth. When God was referring to comfort again, what did He do? He used the idea of a mother. And it's been a few months ago now, but me and Pam was in an estate sale in Panama City. Young couple. We're there, and their little girl. She was 6, 7 years old. And they were looking at a certain item. They had already had a few things and had them laid there on the table where they were going to purchase them. And they were looking at a cabinet. And they had kind of stepped away. And the little girl, I don't know how it happened exactly, but she managed to close the tip of her finger up in that cabinet door, and she pinched it good. And everybody in the house knew it. I mean, she began to cry and wail, and listen, I have no doubt that it hurt. And Mama scooped her up and began to try to console, but she was crying. And Mama, they laid the rest of the stuff down on the table, and she told the lady, she said, we'll be back in a minute. And they left, and they was gone for about 10 or 15 minutes, and they pulled back up front. And when they walked back up, the little girl she wasn't crying anymore. She had a little smile on her face, and she was eating ice cream cone. Amen. Comfort. You see, Mama knew just what to do. I tell you what I thought about was the little things that Mama does through the years that she's done just to bring us just a little bit of comfort. And again, Isaiah 66 and verse 13, it says, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Zion. Amen. I just asked this morning if our mothers, you will just stand for just a second. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to our mothers again. Amen. And I'm just going to say God bless you this morning.